biggest fine ever for a U.S. airline.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Federal regulators plan to slap a $25 million penalty on American Airlines for canceled flights and maintenance problems from 2008. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning the fine is a record, almost three times higher than the Federal Aviation Administration has ever proposed. Joining us live from Philadelphia, Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Good morning.
Good morning.
So if this is for problems in 2008, why is the fine just coming now?
Well, the FAA said that American Airlines hadn't fixed electrical wiring around the landing gear on 300 of its MD-80 jets, and American ended up grounding those planes for a few days in 2008, causing thousands of cancellations. But since then, the airline has always maintained that the FAA was overreacting and that the code violations were minor. Last year, the FAA did a system-wide audit of the airline. Actually, at one point, things got so heated that an inspector was allegedly ordered off airline property. So I talked to one of my sources about this, David Learmount. He's the operations and safety editor at Flight Global. He says the FAA has been spending their time building their case.
If you're going to make a fine as big as that, you have to be very legally sure of your position, because if it doesn't have a very, very solid legal backing, American will successfully challenge the attempt.
And Gregory, what kind of signal does a fine this big send to the rest of the industry?
Well, the FAA hasn't confirmed the size of this fine, but if it is somewhere around that $25 million number, then the FAA definitely hopes to show that it's got the big stick. We should mention, though, in the past, these fines do get negotiated down.
Okay. Marketplace's Gregory Warner, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
You know, we've been passing on so much bad news in recent weeks. We should tell you, there has been a glimmer of economic hope lately, and we hear about it now from Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Mortgage rates are at record lows, and that explains why demand for refinancings hit a 15-month high last week. David Malpass at Encima Global says that helps homeowners.
That means their payments on a monthly basis will be lower and for a long period of time. So it's like they got a raise at work, and so that's very good news.
That extra cash will give the economy a boost, especially if homeowners spend it. Recently, Americans worried about their jobs have been saving a lot more, but Morgan Stanley economist Ted Weissman says maybe a lower house payment will get them to open up their pocketbooks.
We would think that given how high the savings rate has gotten now, we're probably getting pretty close to where people should start spending some more out of their income and meeting some of the pent-up demand that's built up.
Even if they don't spend it, homeowners could invest it, says Malpass.
Some of them will start a small business. They see that their payments are going to be less on their mortgage, and they can begin to invest in that business they've always dreamed about.
In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Okay, now back to the bad news. The economic signs that spooked Wall Street yesterday may be scaring investors around the world today. Japan's Nikkei index led Asian stocks lower. The Nikkei was down almost 2%. European stocks are off just slightly now, and the Dow lost 144 points yesterday, well over a percent, closer to a percent and a half. The close was 10,271.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
It's time for today's Marketplace Globalist Quiz, in which quizmaster Stefan Richter gives us a wider perspective on international news and trends. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Bill. We'll have a seamless transition for today's quiz from the cup of coffee that I think you have into you already.
More than you know, my friend.
All right. So the question is, on a per-person basis, which country drinks the most coffee? Is it A, Italy, B, Brazil, C, ours truly, the United States, or D, Finland?
I'm thinking. Italy, espresso, Brazil, coffee beans. U.S., underslept. Finland, wild card. I'm going to say Americans.
Well, we lead the world in coffee consumption only in one regard. Because we're such a large country, on an aggregate basis, we consume the most coffee. But on a per-person basis, it's actually only under 3 kilograms, how it's measured globally. And that puts us into 17th place globally, right on par with our neighbor, Canada.
Okay, now I'm getting curious about Finland. I know it's cold there. I'm going to say the Finnish drink the most per person.
And that warms him up. You're a brilliant man, and it's a big surprise. We know from lots of other situations that the Scandinavian nations lead the world when it comes to such important things like environmental matters, gender equity, income equality. But amazingly, it's not just Finland where they need a lot of coffee amidst all the darkness to make it through the day, but it's Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. All of those four countries take the top four spots globally in the world for coffee consumption.
Well, they deserve it. I do not begrudge the Scandinavians their coffee.
And the poor Italians, you know, that gave us Lavazza, Illy, espressos, and have all these coffee bars, not even they make it among the top 10. So that's something that helps us in the United States not to feel too much out of the lead.
Well, I'm doing my part, Stefan. Thanks for the global viewpoint.
Keep drinking.
Okay, Stefan Richters, publisher and editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com, the daily online magazine on the global economy, politics, and culture. And finally, as for summing up the week's business news in a poetic marketplace minute, listener David Lefkowitz writes, when Intel announced they'd buy McAfee, the market reacted with apathy. With mass unemployment, more PC deployment looks doubtful, despite being hacker-free. Yeah, thanks for showing me up, David. I'll take it from here. Potash, the big fertilizer, believes that on balance it's wiser to not go combining with BHP mining, so says their investment advisor. Jobless claims rose again this week. There's oil off the coast of Mozambique. There's salmonella, and profits fell a lot for Sears, but not for Dell. Scandals emerging. No matter the splurging you're doing, your olive oil isn't that virgin. The oil spilled by our friend BP, we thought it was gone to a stunning degree. Turns out it's still there. It's just under the sea. And I'll see you at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Feel free to write my verse for me. And join me on Twitter at Bill Radke Radio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.